The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Brian Toomey in the studio. It's Fakenham and Nottingham domestically. There's a couple of Irish meetings as well, one from Kilbeggan and one from Listowel, and a big day in France in Chantilly. It's Prix de Jockey Club Day, which is the French Derby, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I imagine you're pretty good. You had a pretty good day at your father's yard on Thursday evening.
Yeah, the yard a cracking day. Obviously, Master Carpenter won the listed race at Sandown at the Brigadier Gerard meeting, and that was a big success for the old man. He was given a very good ride by Ryan Moore.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
But probably a little bit unfair on the horse. It's kind of like taking it away from him, but he still won by 7 lengths, and I think he would have won anyway. But Ryan certainly showed why he's champion jockey there.
Yeah, he's deserved a success, hasn't he, Master Carpenter?
Yeah, he's been in very good form this year. To be fair, the only horses that have beat him have certainly got lofty aims, Knight of Thunder and Kingsman, first and second in the green, and first and second in the 2,000 guineas. And the horses that beat him over a mile and a quarter, I think Neil Hedford Derby, Impulsive Moment, and Western Him beat him in the Classic Trial at Sandown. And I think they're big price each way shots for the Derby. But Western Him particularly, I think he had a gallop around Epsom on Wednesday. So he wouldn't be one probably in each way price you wouldn't rule out. And Pinzolo beat him at Newmarket. I think that's a lively outsider for Godolphin. So to be fair to the horse, he's been in cracking form this year, and he very deserved to get his head back in front.
Yeah, so that's the list of success in the book, an easy list of success in the end as well. What are the plans with him now? Do you have anything set out yet?
He does need easy ground, so it's kind of the weather, really. I think we will probably miss Royal Ascot and try and head for a smaller race somewhere. But I'll say, with the weather as it is, it does keep raining quite a bit at the moment, so we can't venture him in a few races, and if the ground's right, he'll probably run. But there's no lofty aims, but maybe long term, end of the season, perhaps the QE2, just because it comes up soft, and a few horses have gone over top end of the year, you might be able to nick some nice bit of minor prize money like Top Notch Tonda did last year. But that's kind of long term lofty aim, but at the moment it's just see what the ground is, and I'll say we're just very happy to get a win out of him.
Okay. What about the other winners you had on the day? Any plans with any of them?
Graphene did well to win at Bath because he nearly slipped around the home bend. And normally a horse is kind of pulled up then, so the fact he managed to win was a big bonus for him. He'll probably just step up and trip. He's only low-grade horse, but I think he can win again. And Irish Princess, she just got off a mark. She's won over 6 furlongs in a mile and a half, so she's very versatile as regards to trip. But she's a typical mare. She's on a going day. She's hard to beat, but unfortunately most of the time she doesn't really fancy it too much, but it was good to get another win out of her.
Okay, good stuff. Well done. Good luck with those in the future. Let's talk about a bit of news before we move on to Sunday's action. We're going to look ahead to the French Derby on Sunday, but in a week's time we'll have the English Derby as well. A couple of classics coming up next weekend, and a few stories surrounding the Derby being battered about as we record this on Saturday. And we'll talk about Romsdal to start with. John Gosden sounds a bit undecided whether to put him in the race because his piece of work wasn't brilliant the other day.
That's the problem, and it's a lot of money to supplement him for the Derby. He's already got Western Him, which went round a track the other day and went round pretty nicely. I think it's about £70,000 to supplement for the Derby, which is a lot of £75,000. Sorry, and it's a lot of money to throw away if a horse didn't work that well the other day. And he was beat in the Chest of Ars. He only came second. So for me, if he was mine, I'd probably be leaving him alone. And like I say, it's an expensive decision to make. In the Oaks, we've got quite a few supplemented. I think that's because it doesn't look a particularly strong Oaks, and people are hoping they might nick some prize money. But for me, Romsdal needs to improve plenty to be recouping some of that £75,000 that they cost to supplement him.
Okay. They're going to make the decision over the weekend, from what I understand. Another horse that was potentially going to go to the Derby but didn't was, probably won't now, is Hydrogen, who only managed fourth on his debut. Cost £2 million.
£2.5 million. He's looking at a tad expensive, but it was his first run. I think the fact that we haven't seen him until now suggests he's not that good. And from day one, I think he said A-Rod The same owner's horse at Chapel Himes, Qatar Racings. He's always been a better horse than Hydrogen. I think they've just kept him in a derby in case he sparkled on the racetrack and something which he doesn't do at home. But KP, I think when he was talked about him on here, he said he wasn't that imposing. He didn't look like it was $2.5 million well spent. And while I think he can certainly win races, he definitely isn't going to be a champion like his close relation authorised.
Yeah, they are keeping faith connections. Apparently, they're likely to look for a maiden for him in a few weeks, and then hoping that a step up in trip might turn him into a cup horse. So he's not going to be a world beater, but
he'll still be pretty good. Yeah. But I don't think he'll be recouping too much of that $2.5 million price tag. And generally, the horses that do make that kind of money at sales, they're not normally superstars. Obviously, if Australia had gone through the ring, a Ouija board, Galileo would have been worth a lot of money. But like I say, for me, $2.5 million, it's not a great one, but horses make that. Two people wanted him. It's not the horse's fault what he cost, and I'll say he'll win races, but he's just not going to be a superstar that they perhaps hoped at the time when he bought him.
Mm-hmm. The Derby betting looks like this at the moment. Australia 10-11, 7-1 for Geoffrey Chaucer, Kingston Hill 10-1, 14s for Fascinating Rock and True Story, 16s for Eben Oren and Western Hymn, and 20-1 for Orchestra, 25s or bigger for the rest. Do you have an opinion in the Derby at the moment?
Yeah, I quite like Fascinating Rock each way. Pat Smillam was always pretty confident he was going to pick up the pieces in the Derry Sand Irish Derby trial, and unfortunately he didn't quite get there, although he got it in the stewards' room. Dermot was having an absolutely cracking season in Ireland at the moment, and I just think at 14-1 he's an each way value. Australia, he is the most likely winner, but 11-10 on, not much value. And bearing in mind Geoffrey Chaucer only came third in that race, I think Fascinating Rock's at a nice bit of value and need double his odds.
Yep, 14-1 for Fascinating Rock at the moment. Anything else in the news caught your eye before we move on?
Not really, to be fair. The Oaks, Honour Bound, I see Jim Crowley is quite likely to ride that filly. I didn't think the Lingford Oaks trial was particularly strong. So for me, it just looks a little bit of weak Oaks. Marvellous obviously won the Irish 1,000 guineas, and she's been heavily supported since then. As Tegruda, the form isn't really working out too well for her from the Pretty Polly at Newmarket. But John Gosden's always been pretty sweet on that filly. He's just a little bit concerned about the ground. Obviously, we need to see how much rain we're going to get next week. Epsom does dry quite quick, so I wouldn't be too worried about soft, heavy ground at the moment. Although Sandown, not far away, that was pretty testing ground there on Thursday evening. So I think we're going to get plenty of cut in the ground. Madam Chang, obviously, she won in similar kind of conditions at York. She could well come into it. But exciting, I think, now Tagaruda was so short in the market for the Oaks. Now we've got a few contenders. It makes it more of an interesting race, I think.
Yeah, it's starting to become a little bit more open, the Oaks picture. Anyway, we'll leave that there and we'll move on to Sunday's racing.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's racing. We're going to look at three races. James has picked out one at Fakenham, one at Nottingham, and we're going to look at the French Derby as well. So we'll start in the 2:30 at Fakenham, going in chronological order. And this is a handicap chase for the Prince of Wales Cup. It's a Class 5 handicap chase over the extended 3 miles. 9 of them in the lineup. Which ones are on the shortlist, James?
It's pretty low grade, but good prize when you're up at Fakenham, £7,000 for a 0-100 chase. And Monroe Park was the one that caught my eye. He ran very well over course and distance last time out, just getting beat by Epi Celeste. He looked likely to win before folding up inside the closing stages. That was a much better run of offences than his previous two efforts, and I think he's dangerous off a similar kind of mark. Dangerous at the bottom of the weights are Cypress Grove, who some reason the handicapper absolutely dropped it, £16 for one disappointing run, and he picked up the pieces at Fontwell. He's only gone up £6. Dave Cross retains the ride. If he's as effective around Fakenham as what he is around Fontwell, he's certainly a big danger. Fitchity won last time out for the Cornwalls, but he was well behind Monroe Park the time before, so I think he might struggle to reverse the form. And I think Monroe Park in the Cool Roxy colours, it was so effective around Fakenham in the past few seasons, probably won about 10 races around there. I think the Blackmore's got another one that likes Fakenham, although not in that class. He could pick up a nice race at Fakenham in the 2:30 tomorrow.
Okay, so you're siding with Monroe Park in the 2:30. On to the 3:15 at Chantilly next, the Prix de Jockey Club, which is a Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. It's the French Derby. We do have betting on site as well, and Prince Gibraltar is the 15-8 favourite. 5-1 for Caraconti, 7-1 for the Grey Gatsby. Prestige Vendome is 9-1, 10s for Earnshaw and Freeport Lou, and then 12-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who do you like for the French Derby?
Yeah, Prince Gibraltar was pretty short in the market. Won the Grand criterium at the back end of last season, back in November. He was given a cracking ride by Christoph Soumillon. Went alone on the far side, the only one to go there, and he won by 5 lengths. Hartnell, the only real English form, finished third on that occasion, but he's well behind, and he certainly looks well worth a rating of about 1.15. He made a winning reappearance in a Group 2 at St Cloud on the 3rd of May, beating Earnshaw by 2 lengths. We didn't really learn too much more than the fact that he's returning good form. Probably a little bit short, bearing in mind he really won at Oman a quarter last year. Maybe a little bit on the slow side, but I'll be looking elsewhere. Caraconti won the French 2000 Guineas. He won the Prix-Jean Luc Lagarde at the back end of last year. I think he will stay a mile and a quarter. Got a bit of a wide draw on 15, which perhaps isn't ideal. A similar comment applies to the runner-up that day, Prestige Vendôme, who's drawn 16. So both of those have got pretty bad draws to try and overcome. Pinch spot in stall 9, probably a bit of a better draw. English Raider, the Grey Gatsby. He's probably not really been given much credit for the Dante success. It was only 17 days ago. He's been pretty busy, bearing in mind he ran in the 2000 Guineas as well and the Craven. So this is 4 pretty quick runs. But he's got Ryan Moore on board, which would be a big positive. Drawn 6, good draw. 9.20, it could be a nice each way shot. Earnshaw's 5th favourite. He was behind Prince Gibraltar in the trial 29 days ago. Although Andrew Farb is a bit of a genius over in France, it would be surprising if he overturned the form in a favourite. Shamkir could be interesting. Alan Roy, the praise horse. Only 3 starts and off the mark in Maiden Company last time out, but did win by 8 lengths, so pretty impressive. And the fact that the Aga Khan owned individual is stepping up into Group 1 company straight from Maiden suggests that he's highly thought of by the stable, and he could be dangerous. But I'd probably go for Caraconti as a selection. I think 5-1, the draw is giving you a bit of value. With a lot of dead wood in the race, he might well be able to get over it.
Okay, Caraconti then in the French Derby, and on to the 3:45 at Nottingham next. This is a Class 3 handicap of a 5 furlong, so sprinters in action for this, 12 of them in the lineup as we record this. Who'd you like for the 3:45?
Yeah, it's the most competitive race in the UK. Cardigan's a 15 grand 0-95 sprint. Peace Seeker has been in pretty good form for the Carsons, off the mark last time out. Only 4 runners at Yarmouth, but Green Monkey, the horse he beat, has been pretty prolific in lower grade. He's gradually progressing up the ranks. He's now rated 90, bearing in mind his first win came off a mark of 52. The Carsons have done well to get 6 wins out of him, and he keeps on improving. He's only 6 years old, goes on this kind of ground, which I think is important, and he should be there or thereabouts. Foxy Forever made an eye-catching return for Michael Wigan. He's very, very lightly raced in recent season. He had 1 start last year, which was an impressive success at York. Made a nice return at Newmarket when finishing 3rd 17 days ago. Obviously he's come out of that race okay, because he's actually running quite quickly for him. James Doyle takes a ride, and he's probably the selection. Taurus Twins have been in cracking form, 3 wins so far, but I think he's engaged at Haydock on Saturday afternoon, so you have to see how he gets on today and whether he makes a quick reappearance. But obviously he's dangerous because he's certainly hitting form at the right time. Interesting one is Asian Trader, owned and trained I think by Willie Haggis. Very good form last year, and on that form you give him an outstanding chance, but he seems to be using a bit of a schoolmaster now. A girl apprentice called Georgia Cox had a first ride in him last time out. He wasn't actually disgraced finishing 9th behind Foxy Forever. He wasn't beaten too far, but he's got another very inexperienced jockey riding today, Stephanie Joandes, who's only had 1 ride so far, and a bit of a concern. Obviously your first few rides you are just purely learning what to do, and in a very, very competitive handicap against good jockeys like James Doyle, Oisin Murphy, Luke Morris, she's going to have to be on the top of her game. And despite the fact the horse is probably a very, very straightforward, uncomplicated ride, there's always a bit of a concern when you've got such inexperienced riders against professionals, not even in an apprentice race. So that's a question mark about Asian Trader. But Foxy Forever will be the selection. I catch him a turn. I think Michael Wigan's got a decent sprinter in his hands.
Okay, Foxy Forever then in the 3:45. As always, then let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time, James.
Yep, 2:30 at Fakenham off of Monroe Park. Looked like he was going to get off the mark of the fences at Fakenham last time out, but just tied up in the closing stages. Mark Golding takes the ride this time, and hopefully he can delay his challenge a little bit longer. In the French Derby, I've gone for Caraconti, won the French 2000 Guineas, has got a poor draw in 15, but I think he might be able to overcome it. 5-1 could be a little bit of value. And in the 3:45 at Nottingham, I've gone for Foxy Forever. For Michael Wigan and James Doyle, I catch him return at Newmarket, and he can get off for Mark on his second start this year.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. and James will be in the studio with Mick Norton and Brian Toomey. There's Fakenham and Nottingham in the afternoon, Kilbeggan and Listowel over in Ireland, and this good card at Shaughnessy as well, where the French Derby is the feature race. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.